In Deuteronomy, you know, where we need to remember, was Wes. Remember where God is bringing you from. And this morning I stand before you, farm girl. I never ever thought in my life that God would use an ordinary girl like me. I had a complete fear to even speak in front of one or two people, not to mention where God has taken me. Since He spoke into my heart in 98 to sell my farm in South Africa, at that point I had no idea where and what was ahead of me. And today, God is using my story where I can educate and equip the body of Christ. And so today, I'm going to talk to you about who is your master. And this is why I have my dogs here. And I'll introduce them to you a little bit later. I'm just going to take them out so they can just settle down a little bit. As they have been, Dawn was saying, she's claustrophobic on their behalf. So, okay, girls, come. No, you stay here. Okay, girls, sit. I'm just going to have them out. Daisy, come, you guys. Come on. Okay. And you'll hear why I attach this girl to the big one. Okay, yeah. And maybe I will just attach all of them so that they can't go anywhere right now. Okay. So, my topic today is, and by the way, I have a PowerPoint, but my friends Ken and Dawn are, like me, not very much into technology. So when I called and I said, so can I bring my PowerPoint? They said, no, there's nothing like that here. And I'm like, there's a PowerPoint here. I should have brought my computer, but I didn't. So I'm just going to talk to you and I'm going to kind of interact with you as well. So for the next 30 minutes or so, just relax, okay? And enjoy watching the dogs and hearing the dog stories. Okay, so when I talk about who is your master, I want to talk to you about how essential it is to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord and to our master, Jesus. Because in the end of the day, He wants to use us to be a light in the world and to tell others about what He can do. And you know, like my story, you know, God is using my story to help others and to bring hope, and that there is hope, that a person can change. Doesn't matter where we come from. He wants us to be a signpost to point others in His direction. You know, this morning, Karen and I were driving. There's no signs that says Lucky Lake. And it's like at the end, we did see one at, I think, at Highway 45. But God wants us to be a signpost that points others in His direction. Serving and following our Master Jesus will determine our final destiny the day that we die. I'm going to use my dogs to illustrate many of the points that I'm going to make today. So if you can just relax and then kind of allow these stories to speak into your heart. See, God can use many ways to speak to us, right? Right? There's beautiful songs this morning. He even used a donkey. Do you guys know the story about Balaam and the donkey, that where the donkey spoke to Balaam? Do you guys know the story about Balaam? Have you read about that in the Bible? The donkey spoke to Balaam. You? Very good. So we're going to read about that in just a little bit. So if he could use a donkey, then obviously he can use some dogs this morning in church. You've never had dogs in church, have you? Okay, let's just, I see your congregation is pretty, yeah, they shy this morning. I'm going to teach you an Afrikaans word first. Okay, how's that? Are you ready to learn Afrikaans? Say, buy a donkey.
Buy a donkey.
like a donkey. I'm the Balaam donkey that I'm going to talk about. Buy a donkey. You just said thank you in Afrikaans. Buy a donkey. You don't spell it like that. You spell it differently. But if you say buy a donkey, when you talk to an Afrikaans person, they're going to say, oh, well, yeah, that's great. You know some Afrikaans. So remember that, okay? Well, we have the story about Balaam. So I'm going to, do you have Bibles here? All right, so let's go to Numbers. Numbers 22. It should be about 180 in your Bible. I read from the Amplified. And so we're going to start at verse 20. Ready? Okay, verse 20. Okay, girls. Ooh, this is no good. Okay. Okay. Come on, girls. Genau. She's the wild one. Okay, verse 20. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, if the men come to call you, rise up and go with them, but still only what I tell you may you do. And verse 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his donkey, and he went with the princes of Moab. So he didn't do what God was saying. He went a different direction. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way as an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his donkey, and his two servants were with him. And the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam struck the donkey to turn her into the way. Verse 24, but the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyard, a wall on this side and a wall on that side. Verse 25, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against it, and he struck her again. Verse 26, and the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no room to turn, either to the right or to the left. Verse 27, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, he fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he struck the donkey with his staff. Verse 28, and the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you should strike me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you have ridiculed and provoked me, I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. Verse 30, and the donkey said to Balaam, am not I your donkey upon which you have ridden all your life long until this day? Was I ever accustomed to do so to you? And he said, no. Verse 31, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell on his face. Verse 32, and the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? See, I came out to stand against you and resist you, for your behavior is willfully obstinate and contrary before me. Verse 33, and the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. If she had not turned from me, surely I would have slain you and saved her life. Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. But now, if my going displeases you, I will return. See, in verse 22, verse 27, it describes, as we just read, about how Balak joined the forces of Balak. But he was supposed to join the forces of Balak, but then he went to Moab. He wanted to do his own thing. Then God put an angel in his path to try to prevent him from doing the wrong thing. And then, and to motivate him to turn around and to do what God wants him to do. So only the donkey could see the angel, right? Balaam couldn't see the angel. The donkey could see the angel. And then that's why the donkey kind of acted out. And then Balaam was like, he got so angry. He's like, I'm going to hit the donkey. Why is this stupid donkey so stubborn? And then finally, his eyes opened and he could see. And that's when the donkey spoke to him. Another verse, so first of all, I want to ask you a few questions. So what do you think? Does Balaam's actions indicate that God was his master? Yes or no? No? The pastor says no. Yes, or can we say that Balaam wanted to do his own thing and wanted to do things his own way, right? Anybody with me here this morning? We sometimes want to do our own thing, right? Until Balaam had an encounter with God. I want to read to you also Romans 6. And I use the Message Bible. Now you may wonder, why do I use the Message and the Amplified Bible? My mother tongue is not English, and I struggle with English, so I have to use kind of amplification and easy reading English Bibles to understand the English language. So Romans 6 from verse 15, and the topic of this passage is, what is true freedom? So verse 15, so since we're out from under the old tyranny, does that mean we can live any old way we want? Since we're free in the freedom of God, can we do anything that comes to mind? Hardly. You know well enough from your own experience that there are some acts of so-called freedom that destroy freedom. Offer yourself to sin, for instance, and it's your last free act. But offer yourselves to the ways of God, and the freedom never quits. All your lives you've let sin tell you what to do, but thank God you've started listening to a new master, one whose commands set you free to live openly in his freedom. I'm using this freedom language because it's easy to picture. You can readily recall, can't you, how at one time the more you did just what you felt like doing, not caring about others, not caring about God, the worse your life became and the less freedom you had. And how much different is it now as you live in God's freedom? Your lives healed and healed and expansive in holiness. And then verse 22 to 23. Where is that? But now that you have found, you don't have to listen to sin tell you what to do, and have discovered the delight of listening to God telling you, what a surprise, a whole healed, put together life right now, with more and more life on the way. Work hard for sin your whole life, and your pension is death. But God's gift is real life, eternal life, delivered by Jesus, our Master. Who you serve, you obey and become a slave of, whether it is sin to sin or to God. That's kind of my own words, and you already mentioned something like that this morning. Who you serve, you know, you're going to obey and you become a slave of. So, as I introduce my dogs to you, by the way, this is Thursday, the big one. This little wild one here is called Macy, and this is Daisy. So I want you to pay close attention to what I'm going to share with you about them. There's going to be a lot of tidbits that you will be able to take home from it. Now, all three of my dogs are rescue dogs. I have not paid a penny for any of my dogs. I have rescued all of them. Now, Macy was just added, the one in the kennel, she was just added to my household in October last year. And I will admit that she is more stubborn than the donkey. In Numbers 22. That's why I have to put her in this kennel. Now, I am going to attach her to Thursday again right now, just because I want to do an illustration here. Because if I don't, she's going to just run off. Wait. Now, I purposely attach her to Thursday because Thursday already listens to me. She obeys me, and she has learned to know my voice. So attaching her to Thursday will hopefully help her to follow her sister's good example. Now, sometimes we need a loving brother or a loving sister to come alongside us in life, right? To help us and to guide us. Because sometimes we go off track, and a loving brother or a loving sister that is kind of attached to us can help us stay on the right track. Or it will keep us accountable. Do you agree? Yes? Okay, good. So when I adopted each of my dogs, I not only became their owner, but I became their master. Dogs need a master or a pack leader. You guys know that, right? Yeah. So in the dog world, they need to have somebody leading them, like a wolf. You know, they have their leader and stuff like that. So in my house, who's the leader? Me. You're right. Because if I'm not the leader, then the dogs are just going to do whatever they want. But right now, we have a big fight on the order of hierarchy, because this little dog, believe it or not, she wants to be the boss. And it's been a challenge, I can tell you that. So as their master, they obey me, they want to please me, they love me. They do what I tell them, and sometimes they don't, but they love my affection. You must see them in the evening when we go to bed. It's like all three of them on the bed, and I cover them with blankets, and it's like a evening talk, you know, and cuddling and stuff like that. They absolutely love for the affection of their master, and they will do whatever to please me. They love my touches, they crave it, and if they can only be with me all day long, that is good enough for them. They also trust me. I feed them, I look after their needs, and they also have learned to recognize and listen to my voice. Now, did you know that dogs can hear their master's voice amongst hundreds of noises? Did you know that? Come here. I will illustrate that to you if everything goes well. Okay, you guys need to sit now. Sit. Stay. Here you go. Sit. All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to walk to the back. I'm going to leave them here. And we're going to do an illustration here. Okay, sit. Macy, sit. Stay. Macy, stay. She may not do what I want to do. So what I'm going to ask you guys to do is you're going to start to talk to each other. And when I'm at the back, I'm going to call them. Okay, stubborn girl. You stay. Stay. So I want you guys to... I want you guys to start to talk to each other. And then I'm going to call... my two dogs that is up front. Okay, talk. You guys need to talk. It needs to be noisy, okay? Talk. Thursday, Daisy, come. Come. Good girls. Come here. Yeah, they may. Daisy, come. Okay. All right, let's go back. Come on. Let's go back. Macy, you are my dog. Macy, come. Over here. Macy, come. Okay, sit. Stay. 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 Now I'm going to have you talk again. And I'm going to ask you, can you come and call them for me? Come, come. You guys talk now. You talk, okay? Talk, talk, talk. And then you say, Thursday, Daisy, Macy, come.
Thursday, Macy, Daisy, come.
Say it again.
Thursday, Daisy, Macy, come. Oh, I think I got one, maybe.
Okay, say it again.
Thursday, Macy, Daisy, come.
Okay, so can you see what is happening here? They don't know his voice, but they know my voice. So they know their master's voice. So in a spiritual world, it's no different. Jesus wants us to make him our master too, whose voice we know and listen to. Just so you know, obedience will cost you something. It costed me something, you know, when I sold my farm in South Africa, I was journaling and I felt one day that God was saying to me that it is time that I need to stop farming. When I lived in Delisle, where you were just mentioning, one morning I woke up and I journal a lot, and this is the physical journal that I had in that year. That was in the year 2012, when I felt one morning, you know, I was journaling, and I felt this was what God was saying to me. He said, "Your season in Delisle has come to an end." So that meant to me that I needed to move, and I needed to move into the city, which I did. He also prompted me to write a seminar, which I share around Canada at the moment. But the fact is, I wrote it down in my journal, and I acted upon it, and it costed me. It costed me to sell my house in Delisle, my quiet life in Delisle, move into the city, and because God had a plan for my life. Where I am today, I am in full-time ministry or part-time ministry, part-time, you know, or full-time business. But it has cost. Obedience to God will always cost you something. What has it costed you so far? Macy? I think I'm going to put you in a kennel. Is that okay with you guys that she's with you? Are you sure? Okay. I'm sure she's lovely. She's laying like there, just like that. It costed me buying a more expensive house in the city. But see, God is my Jehovah Jireh, and he's providing for whatever I need and has been faithful. Following Jesus wholeheartedly will always cost you something. As my dogs have a choice to obey me and to obey my voice, so do we. We have a choice if we are going to obey God or not. And because my dogs love me, they want to please me. If we truly love God, we want to obey him, and we want to please him, and want to follow his commands. John 14:15 says, "If you really love me, you will keep and obey my commands." When he becomes our master, we also seek his presence on a daily basis. We just want to sit with him. We want to enjoy his presence. And when we sit with him, he's faithful to direct our steps. Psalm 16 verse 11 says, "You will show me the path of life." Ken, you were praying this morning about showing a person the path of life. "In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore." When Jesus is our master, we learn to hear know, and respond to his voice. The Bible teaches us that he's the good shepherd, right? And we are his sheep. John 10:27 says, "The sheep that are my own, they hear and they listen to my voice. I know them and they follow me." Now, why is it that we don't hear his voice? Why is it that we don't follow or obey him as our master? Personally, I think there's a few reasons, and I'm going to just mention a few this morning. First of all, I think we don't make time to listen. And yes, God still speaks today. He uses many ways to speak to us, as I mentioned earlier, whether it is the donkey, you know, in the Bible where he spoke to Balaam. He can use his word. He can use other people to speak to us. He can speak to us through nature. He can speak to us through music. He can speak to us through dreams and even through dark illustrations that I'm doing with you today, and also through journaling. God can use a journal. When we sit and journal, he can speak to us through that. Unfortunately, as many of you, you know, will probably agree with me, with our busy lives, do you guys also say when somebody asks you, "How are you?" "Oh, I'm so busy," right? Or is it just me, Ken? We're all busy. With our busy lives today, we don't make time to listen. Will you agree? Many of us, what we'll do in the morning is we will get up, we'll read the Bible, we will pray, and then off we go. We don't sit and make time to listen. I want to challenge you to make time for that. And you young kids that is here, when you read your Bible in the morning, learn to start to do a journal and start to write down all the thoughts that come into your mind. Start to write that down. I have been journaling now for probably 25 years, and many of my major decisions in my life that I had to make, it came through, and it was when I was journaling that I could hear the voice of God directing and leading my steps. And I just want to clarify to all of you, there are many voices that can speak to us, okay? And we need to know that, we need to understand that. First of all, we can hear the voice, there's Satan's voice that can speak to us. It can be the voice of God. It can be our own voice that speak to us, or the voice of the world around us. Don't we live in a world today with all these things speaking to us, right? So we can decide if we're going to listen to that, or we are going to listen to the voice and the still small voice of Jesus that is speaking to us. And just so you know, when God speaks to us, it will never be negative, never. It will always be uplifting. It will always edify us, and it may warn us if we are on a destructive path. Satan's voice will always be negative. It will always lead us astray. And the voice that speaks to us from ourselves, our own voice, can also lead us astray. Or it can be the voice of our flesh that speaks to us. Now, that brings us to the second reason why we don't hear the voice of Jesus. Macy, that's enough. Come. That's enough. You wild. Kennel. You kennel. Yep. That's it. Thank you. Good girls. She's wild, eh? Too wild, huh? Do you have a dog at home? No? You have a dog. Not so wild. You have two? Okay, not so wild, huh? Not so wild, okay. So the second thing I want to talk to you about is why don't we hear the voice of Jesus is the flesh. because our flesh can get in the way. Now the flesh, what is the flesh? According to the Amplified Bible, it is described as the entire human nature without God. And the Amplified also describes the mind of the flesh as the sense and the reason without the Holy Spirit. Now, our spirits may be born again and alive, but our flesh can get in the way. There's a battle going on. While we are alive, there will be a constant battle between the flesh and the spirit man. So these two are fighting each other. There's a war going on. There's a war going on for our souls. And this war will go on until the day that we die. And if you were not aware of it, but in the mornings when you wake up, Satan gets ready with his attacks on your life. And his aim is to drive you so far away from God as he possibly can. He's not only the accuser of the brethren, but he will tempt you in areas of your life where you are weak, and don't we all fall? Yes? Yeah, we all fall. We all give in. Our spirits may be willing, but our flesh is weak. Now, I want to do an illustration here with you. Thursday, come here. If we make Thursday and Daisy play tug of war, who's going to win?
Thursday.
Why?
She's bigger.
Yeah, and what else? Stronger maybe? Okay. Now, what if we don't feed Thursday for 30 days? If I don't feed this dog for 30 days, is she still going to be stronger? No? You think Daisy can win the fight then, you think? Yeah? So if we don't give her food or water for 30 days, I don't think that Thursday is still going to win the fight, right? Do you girls agree? Yeah, okay, that's a good answer. The reality is, as long as we live, we will have to deal with our flesh and our spirit man. And the one that we are going to feed is the one that is going to win the fight. This is why Paul said, the good that I want to do, I don't. And the bad that I don't want to do, I do just that. Why did he say that? Probably because his flesh also got in the way. There's a tug of war going on, and it's between our spirit man and the flesh. Galatians 5:17 says, "For the desires of the flesh are opposed to the Holy Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are opposed to the flesh. For these are antagonistic to each other. They are continually withstanding and in conflict with each other, so that you are not free, but are prevented from doing what you desire to do." Have you ever said, "I'm never going to do that again"? Yeah? You guys are shy. Have you ever said that? And then you just do it the next day. Why? Maybe it was our flesh that got in the way, that want just what they want. Our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is weak. Now, what do we do then? What is the answer here? How do we win this fight? There's a few points that I just want to share with you. The first one is, if only we can admit that we are powerless over those things that became our masters. The second thing is, and then we ask God to help us, because we cannot do this on our own. We say to him that through him and with his help, we can do it. And number three, if we can surrender our will over to God, and we invite him into it and tell him, "God, your way and not mine." So these are the first three steps that we need to do. See, God requires honesty from us and willingness to acknowledge our weakness and our sin, and then we repent. Then He will forgive us. You know, like Balaam, he repented and he was willing to return to God, as we read in verse, what was it? Where's my glasses now? In verse 34, and Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me, but now if my going displeases you, I will return. So he was willing to acknowledge it and to repent, to turn around. Repentance means just to turn around and walk away from the things that is not pleasing to the Lord. Repentance means we walk away from sinful patterns and to stop obeying and following other gods or things that became our masters. Then we choose daily to feed our spirit rather than our flesh. That is step number four. Now, just so you know, to follow these steps, do you think it's going to be easy? Yes? Don't be surprised if you make a decision that you will have obstacles and things that is going to come your way. Remember, there's a war going on. It is a war for your soul. Remember that. And remember, we cannot serve two masters. Luke 16, verse 13 says, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will stand devotedly by the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and mammon, that is your earthly possessions, or anything else you trust in and rely on instead of God. Many people think this verse is only about God and money. It's all these things that we put ahead of God that can become our masters that we serve. Today, I think if we are honest with ourselves, we will acknowledge that we all tend to serve other gods or things that can take priority over our relationship with God. In that passage in Deuteronomy, it was talking about these other gods that we serve, that the Israelites that they were serving. But God wants us to serve Him, our Master. Just remember, who you serve, you will obey and become a slave of. But if you choose Jesus, He can become your master. The good news is because He loves us so much, He will meet us where we are at. You don't have to do nothing else. Just say, Lord Jesus, here I am. This is what I struggle with. Please come and help me. You don't have to do this and this and this first. It's just acknowledge, like Balaam is like, oh man, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I am willing to change and go the other direction. See, He meets us like the prodigal son in the pig pen. That's where Jesus met the prodigal son, and He was willing to turn around and went back to His father's house. He met me once where I was at too. In a time of my life when I chose to cave in to my fleshly desires, to act on same-sex attractions, and when I chose to actively live as a homosexual, this lifestyle created a separation between me and God, but He kept pursuing me until I got to the place in 2003 when I cried out to God to please change me, because I did not want to live without His presence in my life any longer. And I tried so hard, and I tried for so many years to change myself, but to tell you the truth, my efforts was not very successful. Have you tried to change yourself? Have you tried to change somebody else? We can't. It's God's job. But we need to be willing to surrender and to say, come, Jesus, help me. I need you. I cannot do this on my own. So I was honest with God. I acknowledged that and living the gay lifestyle was not pleasing to Him. So I repented and I walked away from it. I no longer wanted to gratify my flesh and obey my flesh. I gave it over to God. I invited Him into that area of my heart. I acknowledged that I was powerless over it. And I asked that He would come and help me and change me. Today, I'm celebrating 13 years of celibacy, and to God all the glory. Through this surrendering process, my life has been miraculously transformed. But I had to do something. I had to return to Him. And I had to trust Him. And I needed to obey Him as my master. And I'm committed to follow Him now wholeheartedly, no matter the cost. See, faithfulness and a serious pursuit of God is never a gamble. It's never a gamble, and it will be worth it. Holiness is not a feeling. It is the end product of obedience. Purity is not a gift. It is the result of repentance and a serious pursuit of God. Have I arrived yet? Have you arrived yet? No, we don't. Do I have days that I'm like, oh man, I failed again today. Don't we all are like that? We all fail and we all make mistakes. But holiness and pursuing of God is a lifelong process, and none of us is perfect. He will use whatever means to get us back on track, even if He needs to open the mouth of a donkey. If only we will return to Him. Balaam did, I did. Isaiah 30 verse 15 says, in returning to Him and resting in Him, we are saved. In quietness and in trusting confidence shall be your strength. Now, I'm almost done here. I want to share with you a Lucky Lake story. Are you ready for it? It didn't happen in Lucky Lake, but it happened at a lake. Last year, at the end of, it was September long weekend, I was at my, I have a seasonal site at Redberry Regional Park at the lake. And so we're packing up and we're getting ready to, you know, get done for the summer, and I'm going back home. And I felt I was just going to go back to the dock for the last time. And my dogs love the dock. So especially Thursday, she will run off the dock and jump in the water and then swim and come back on the dock and just run and jump. And I'm just standing there, you know, just enjoying watching my dogs, right? And so as I'm standing on the dock, I hear that still small voice. I want you in the water. I'm like, no. I am not getting in the water. It's cool. It's September long weekend. The water is cold already. I'm in my bikini. I'm standing there. I was kind of tanning, but I didn't want to go in the water. I'm like, no, I'll just watch the dog swimming. And I hear that voice again. And I'm like, okay, I'll get in the water. Now, I will tell you, at that time in my life, my mom just passed away. And I was going through some tough times. I had a difficult time. It was difficult for me, and I wasn't at a great place, and so I decided, okay, I'll go in the water. So I'm in the water, it's cold, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna call Daisy. So Daisy and Thursday, they're swimming all around. When I called Daisy first, and I called her to me, I wanted to hold on to her just to get a little bit of heat. And as I held on to her, she's scratching my belly, because have you ever held on to a dog when you are in the water? They just keep swimming, right? And so she's scratching my belly, and I sent her out. And I'm like, no, you go back. And then I call her, and she's circling all around me. And as she gets close to me, and I will illustrate with you what I did with her, with this wild one. So I took her like this, and so she keeps swimming, and she keeps scratching my belly as well. And the next moment, I tucked her like this, and I said, "Thursday, stop kicking. I have you. Trust me." And the next moment, this dog turned on her back in the water, trusting me, with her legs up. She turns around, she looks me in the eye, and she licks my face. And that's when the Holy Spirit said, "Vilna, stop kicking. I have you. Trust me. I love you." I have told the story to so many people because it just continues to just encourage me when I go through difficult times. You know, sometimes we just keep kicking and keep kicking, and all he wants to do is he just wants us to stop kicking and trust him. He has us because he loves us so much. See, Jesus wants to be that for you as well. And because he loves us so much, he says in his word, he says, "I do not call you servants anymore, for the servant doesn't know what his master is doing." And then he says in John 15:5, he says, "But I have called you friends." The song we sang this morning, the last verse, it talks about God is our friend. He wants to be our friend. Now, as our dogs, we say, dogs is man's best friend, right? Right? Okay. Now, when our dogs is our best friend, and when I'm their master, remember now we have this illustration today as I am their master. Jesus wants to be our master. He wants to be our best friend, who we listen to and who we obey and who we love and who we want to please. Remember, who you serve, you obey and become a slave of, whether it is sin or to God. Who's your master? Who is your master? What do you need to let go of to make him your master? Let's just pray. Jesus, we thank you. Jesus, we thank you this morning for what you've done. Lord Jesus, you died on the cross to give us abundant life here and now. And so, Lord, making you our master means that we have abundance of life here and now. Lord, I pray this morning, every person in this congregation, Lord, if there's other masters in their life, that you will show them as you have shown me and as you continue to show all of us, Lord, the things in our lives that is not pleasing to you and is taking the place of you. Lord, we acknowledge this morning that we need you. And I'm just going to do something. I don't know if you do this in your church. If you just want to keep your eyes closed and not looking around, I'm not going to embarrass you, and nobody is. I'm just going to look someplace else. But if you just want to just lift up your hand this morning, I'm looking the other direction. I'm not even seeing. If you are here this morning and you acknowledge that you have you do have other masters in your life, that you will just slip up your hand, and it's only you and only God that is seeing that. And that you will just acknowledge this morning like a Balaam and say, Lord, I want to return back to you. I need you. I need you in my life. I want you to be my master. If you will just say that in your heart this morning, you know who you are. But Lord Jesus, I thank you today that we cannot do this on our own. So we just acknowledge how we need you in our lives. And thank you that you want to be our ultimate friend who loves us very much. So Lord, I pray, if there's anybody in this building this morning that need to stop kicking, that need to trust you and just accept your love, that you have them in the palm of your hands, that they will know that today, that they will go away from this place and pursuing you for the rest of their lives. And I thank you. We give you praise this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.